When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now from Dusty and Danny in the mornings, which is not us. We're switched. We're Danny and Dusty, and we're in the afternoons. Danny Cannell, courtesy of our friends at Bet Online. Go to Bet Online for updated college football playoff and bowl game lines. Danny, how you doing, man?
What's up, boys? How's it going, man? Congrats on the season for the Ducks, Big Ten champs. I mean, that was incredible. First year in the Big Ten from them. I missed you guys at the Big Ten championship game at Indy, but it was fun. And now the real fun begins with the playoffs tomorrow night. I can't wait, man. I'm fired up to be on with you guys.
Look, they kept you guys like corralled over on the opposite sideline at the Big Ten championship game. I was trying to get over to where you guys had your set, but you guys, they broke that thing down and you guys like vanished very quickly during the Big Ten championship game.
Well, we had sort of a that was the plan all along, because we weren't doing a post-game show. But I will say this. We had kind of a weird situation. We have two females that I work with. They're awesome. Jordan Giorgio and Mackenzie Brooks. Great girls. Incredibly smart. They are attractive. And there was one guy that was kind of harassing them, so they did beef up the security a little bit. So I don't know how close you guys would have been. We should have like exchanged numbers or something, because I could have got you in there behind the scenes a little bit. But it was really cool. It was, and I tell you what, I don't know how you guys felt. What would you have put the percentage of Ducks fans? I mean, it felt like a Penn State home game. And Oregon, I knew it was going to be challenging because of what was upcoming and knowing they were going to be in the playoff. But that was a road environment for Oregon to play, and it didn't faze them one bit.
Yeah, I would say, like, I came back and I said it was 70-30, but I'd say it may have been closer to, like, 80-20. Yeah,
there was a lot of Penn State. My guess was 80-20. Yeah. And, like, I'm buddies with, and this is, I don't want to sell him out because he might, you know, if it gets back to people, but he is a former Oregon Duck quarterback. But Tony Graziani, we're boys. Like, we played together in Atlanta. And I wanted to catch up with him. I said, hey, are you going to Indy for the Big Ten championship game? And he said what I think a lot of Oregon fans were thinking was, oh, we waited too long. We didn't get tickets. We're planning on going to the Rose Bowl. Like, so they're looking ahead, and which I like, it's that's the thing that sucks about, you know, the expanded playoffs. It's hard on fans, man. It's expensive for anyone. Yeah. And to have to travel to Indy for a game that, I know it's a Big Ten title, but it's not the prize that you're playing for. If I was a fan, I would have done the same thing. Yeah. Not to knock Indy or anything, too, but I'd probably rather go to Pasadena than Indianapolis.
I talked to Graz this week. It's funny that you mentioned Graz. I talked to Graz this week. He was on our podcast, The Program, and I said, are you going to the Rose Bowl? He said, no, my couch is too good. My kids are going. He's like, we'll catch up down the road, though. We're going to hopefully.
He keeps saving up for them. I mean, I guess, is he going to go to Atlanta for the Natty? I mean, what's he doing? He must feel pretty confident.
No, that's not Graz, but. he's going down the road of, you know what, the kids will go this one, And if the Ducks can get past whoever, Ohio State or Tennessee, he's like, maybe we'll get there and we'll go to whether it's the Cotton Bowl or Atlanta. But he'll end up at one. He's at every home game, though. Graz is a great dude. Let's talk about this playoff, because Oregon's path is not easy by any stretch. And we get this thing going with, you know, the first round coming up this week. What did you make, though, of the bracket, the way that it broke in Oregon's path? Because it'll go through either Ohio State or Tennessee, Texas, Clemson, or Arizona State, and then, you know, potentially playing Georgia in Georgia at the end of this thing.
So I don't love it, but I'm also not that upset about it. Like, I know Joel Klatt with Fox was, like, you know, really emphatic, like, this has to be fixed. Like, and by the way, I love Dan Lanning's approach, where he's like, hey, my players, just show us, give us a parking lot, we'll show up and play anybody, we don't care, which I do think is the right mindset. And, like, if you are the number one seed, and they are, and they've earned it, they've deserved it, it's not even close. That was, like, the one thing there was absolutely zero debate over, was who was the one seed. In a seeded tournament, it is supposed to be where you have the biggest advantage. I do think there's one thing that people are not taking into consideration, because people have talked a lot about the seeding, where the five and the six seeds, you know, Texas playing against Clemson at home and Penn State playing against SMU home, and both of them are, you know, Penn State's an 8.5-point favorite, Texas a 10.5-point favorite. Like, people are saying, oh, and especially for Penn State, they're saying, what an easy path they have. They do have to play an extra game. Like, that is something I don't think people are – I think people are just glossing over the extra game. Like, what happens if Drew Aller gets hurt and, like, you're without him? Like, because you were in a football game against SMU, which, yes, you should win. But the other thing I've learned from college football this season is, like, we might think they're a 10.5-point favorite in Texas and against Clemson, but they could get beat. Like, you still are subjecting yourselves to a potential loss and an extra game. So I still think you benefit the teams that get a bye. So I think that helps. But the thing that screwed up to me is, and I apologize to Boise State fans, I feel like I've been hard on them. They have absolutely zero business being a 3 seed. And I would say probably the same for Arizona State being a 4 seed. Like, they're not, and especially Boise, like, that is a group of five program. It is a different level. And I am thrilled, and I have always campaigned for a group of five team to get a seat at the table. I just don't think they should be at one of the heads of the table, which is basically what they've been given. I don't think their schedule is anywhere close to what some of these other teams have faced. And I think it's unfair. And if you solve that, if you did just seed the teams or re-rank them, I know that was something Joel Klatt had said to do after the first round, I think that would make sense. But since you can't do anything about it, like, why complain about it? Which is why I love Dan Lanning's approach. Like, I've loved everything Dan Lanning has brought to Oregon, including a mindset, which I think is a championship mindset. So I think they screwed it up. I'm not that upset about it. I still think if Oregon's the best team in the country, which I do, I think they'll win it all.
Danny, when you look at this, and even if they did not get it quite right, with the way the seeding is gone, do you see any potential for there to be that Cinderella team? Does Boise State have a path? Does Indiana have a path? Like, does anybody outside of the true blue bloods or the teams that have kind of pushed their way to the top really have any kind of path that you could see where in the first year of the college football playoff, you have a team that makes, not necessarily to even, you know, winning the title game, but even getting to the semis or making it to the title game?
Yes, I do. Now, if you had me pick one, and this is where it's kind of like the NCAA basketball tournament when you pick your bracket, like, I have two upsets happening, and it'll probably screw it up because I'll probably have the two wrong ones, right? So I have Clemson beating Texas, which ironically is the biggest point spread of the first round, and then I have Indiana beating Notre Dame. I think Indiana's probably the one I can envision doing some damage, especially – like, I think it's kind of interesting that we've just glossed over Georgia, you know, potentially losing their quarterback, Carson Beck. Like, right. Oh, it's no big deal. Like, they're still the third best odds to win the national championship. And I'm like, really? And I get he hasn't been great this season, and he's had multiple games where he's had three interceptions, and he's been a little bit up and down. But did anybody notice that Gunnar Stockton did throw a costly interception against Texas when it was 3rd and 13 and, you know, had that game in overtime because of it? Like, to me, and Georgia fans are like, they're fine with it too. Like, oh, we got our guy. Like, we love our backup. Backup's a whole different scenario. Like, we haven't seen him play very much, and there's a lot different scenario. And this is speaking to somebody who primarily was a backup throughout my NFL career. It's kind of easy to come in the game when somebody gets hurt. Like, you are thrust in there. You don't have time to get nervous. You just go out there and you just execute and you do your job. Now that you potentially have to sit on the knowledge that you're starting for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, like, that is a different animal. Like, you start to play those mind games and you're mentally, the stress builds up and you think about it. And you can, some guys thrive under that, but some guys crater under that pressure. So that's the one unknown. But back to your question, if I had to pick one, I'd probably say Indiana. I think Indiana could beat, I actually have them beating Notre Dame. And then I could envision a scenario where if Georgia's not as dominant as they were, who's to say Indiana couldn't beat Georgia? It's wild, but we've seen Georgia play down to competition. We saw them lose to Ole Miss, you know, 28-10. And what if it's Carson Beck or the backup? Like, what if they throw some interceptions? Like, I could see that happening. And then the other team that I had winning against Texas was Clemson. And I had Clemson advancing all the way to the semis before it comes to an end against Oregon. I do have two powerhouses. I do have Oregon facing Georgia in the championship game, and I have Oregon winning it all because I do think depth matters. And while there's been a lot of parity and there's been talent spread out throughout, you know, the SEC and Big Ten and college football in general, those teams are still deeper. Like, we've seen Oregon lose a Jordan Birch for a significant portion, and it hasn't fazed them. We've seen Georgia lose Tate Ratledge, one of their best offensive linemen, for a month of the season. Didn't faze them. Like, there's going to be a gauntlet that teams have to go through to win three or four games. You're going to lose guys to injury, and those are the teams that I feel are most equipped to deal with some of those guys getting hurt or just dinged up where they're not the same player and you need to rely on some depth.
Danny Cannell is our guest, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff and bowl game lines. You mentioned Georgia had the third best odds. The team that kind of surprised me is the team that you have getting upset. Texas has the best odds right now to win the championship. Is that, do you think, because largely public money's coming in, or is there really the talent, the roster? It just says Vegas is looking at it going, all right, the Longhorns are supremely talented. If they can just run the football and Quinn Ewers can at times get out of his own way, they can just have this easier path.
So I think some of it has to do with the path. That five seed is a sweet spot. You know, Clemson is sort of, I like Clemson because I'm probably partial to Dabo Sweeney, but they're almost playing with house money. Like, when they lost to South Carolina, they thought their season was done. And then all of a sudden they get new life and they beat a really good SMU team and pretty much handled SMU. SMU clawed their way back to make it respectable and almost get it to overtime. And I think Clemson's got like sort of that roster that can go, that has depth. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking about, like, that is a traditional blue blood. Like, they have been competitive. They haven't had a bad season the last 10 years. By their standard, they have, but they really haven't had a bad season. The analytics, like the data, the models love Texas because of their roster. Like, a lot of people have talked about Ohio State's $20 million roster. Not a lot of people have talked about Texas's $22 million roster, right? Like, that's kind of flown under the radar. And the defense has been spectacular. But I think Clemson can play them in sort of a defensive struggle type game. I like the under in that game too, by the way, in the Clemson-Texas game, probably more than the outright upset. But I like, for Texas, yes, they've got all these players, and yes, they have a lot of talent, and Quinn Ewers can be good at times, but they have not been tested. Like, I get that they finished the season with two losses, but the two losses came against really the only great team that they played against, or I would say borderline good. Like, what is their best win? Is it Vanderbilt, you know, who finished the season as, you know, a bowl eligible team? It's probably Texas A&M on the road, a game which was 17-7, and like, Texas A&M didn't play great in that game. I don't know. I think something's off with Quinn Ewers too. I don't know if he's 100% healthy or if it's still his ribs, like the oblique injury that's bothering, or the ankle where he's wearing that massive like ski boot for his ankle. But he just feels off, and I think they could be ripe for an upset. As much as we've talked about Ohio State and kind of the stressful environment that could be, if that game is ugly, Texas is a fan base which has high expectations. I could hear them getting a little restless, and I think Clemson is just playing with house money. They could play loose and free because nobody's picking to win, including, you know, the odds makers and the point spread. I think that game's ripe for an upset.
former quarterback, you're the perfect person to ask about this because you mentioned the ankle, you mentioned the oblique and rib injuries to Quinn Ewers. It seemed like in the SEC championship game especially, everything was like a three ball, right? It's just kind of floating everything in there. How much is that playing in, do you think, to the ankle and oblique, and which one is the bigger injury to lead to that?
I think it's his oblique because, like, your ankle – you can stabilize it, and maybe it's a pain tolerance thing. And he hasn't been very mobile throughout his entire career, so it's not like you're missing much there. But the oblique is something because his ankle was recent. I think he hurt that against Kentucky. But like when I watched him play against Georgia the first time around, or when I watched him play against Vanderbilt, he just has not really let it rip. And I think he is a quarterback who comes out. I mean, he's a five-star, one of the highest touted quarterbacks coming out of high school, and we saw it last year against Alabama. We saw it even this year against Michigan, where he would stretch the field vertically. Like, they want to throw the ball deep. They are a big play offense, and yet they haven't taken many shots down the field. His average depth of target is one of the shortest in the entire country, at the Power Four level. Like, they don't throw it very deep, and it could be because they've had injuries at receiver. Like, Isaiah Bond, their best receiver, has been hurt. But like, Gunnar Helm, their tight end, has been their most productive receiver. And like, that's why I just have a hunch that oblique is something that really takes a long time to heal. And it is something that you use a lot of your torso and your core when you're throwing the ball and rotating, especially when you're trying to throw it deep down the field. Like, I still have a hunch. One thing I do think could see happen, but I thought it would happen in Atlanta in the SEC championship game, but it didn't. I thought they would use Arch Manning more than they did. And I still wonder if that's something that Sark has been waiting on for the playoffs when they have to win it. Because even in the SEC championship game, you kind of know we got to win more games to win the ultimate goal. Like, I still wonder if there's an Arch Manning package where they utilize him a little bit more, especially if Quinn struggles the way he has with turnovers. I mean, he still threw for 350 against Georgia, but he had the two costly interceptions, and he missed a lot of open guys. I still wonder if Sark goes to Arch in that situation.
Danny, kind of backing it out to like 30,000 feet here, when you look at the way that the 12-team playoff is kind of as laid out, and you look at the teams that are in there and the players that are at the very top end, it feels like even 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the depth was so concentrated in a couple different teams. You know, Kirby Smart's Georgia team had, what was it, 18 guys that were just absolute dudes on that defense where you just went, yeah, that's an NFL defense. And then the next year they come back and they've got another, you know, dozen guys on that team. But with the proliferation of NIL and the kind of the diaspora of talent going out and around, do you feel like the changing of the guard in college football is finally taking place, and where the, not necessarily lack of depth, but just the spreading around of top-end talent, it's just more proliferate than it's ever been?
Yes, I do. I agree with you, although I don't think it'll necessarily change the national champion. Like, look at the teams we're talking about. They're still the richest programs, right? Oregon spends a lot. Texas spends a lot. Ohio State spends a lot. Georgia spends a lot. You know, like, and those are the teams that I probably, if you said those group, like, I would say probably the national champion's coming from that group of four. But what I love, there's a couple things I love. One, it gives a program like Indiana a ton of hope and, you know, and an opportunity to potentially be that Cinderella. But you know who else it gave hope to this season? A program like South Carolina, who I get they didn't get in, but they had a meaningful game in November, late November, last weekend of the season. When I say meaningful, like playoff spot on the line on the last weekend of the season. And that would also go for Miami, who got beat on that game, kept them out of the playoff. You had, you know, BYU later than ever, Iowa State playing in the Big 12 championship with a chance. That's the 18th ranked team. You know, there are so many more teams that actually feel like they have a chance. And they could get in, and even though they might not be able to run the table and win three or four games, they can still have that hope of playing for a national championship. With the 4-team playoff and even more so in the BCS, there were probably 8 teams every year. He said, yep, they can play for it. Anybody else, like, thanks for coming. Like, enjoy your bowl, whatever bowl it's going to be. But you have real no chance at the table. Now you've got teams with a seat at the table. And I do think we're going to see upsets at some point in the playoff. So I do think that talent has spread around a lot more than it ever has. And I do think it's great for the game that you've got, like, new players at the party. Like Tennessee, Penn State has never had a chance. They've been close, but they never had a chance to make the 4-team playoff. Now they're in. They can silence a lot of critics. I think it's awesome. Boise State and Arizona State, two teams nobody saw, especially Arizona State. I mean, they were a four-win, you know, their win total was 4.5, and here they are with, you know, an opportunity to win, you know, a playoff game, and they sit and watch the first weekend. Like, those things are great for college football because now we've included the entire country, not just either the Southeast or the, you know, Big Ten country with Ohio State or Michigan. Now we've opened this thing up to an entire country, which I think is very healthy for the sport.
Danny Cannell, courtesy of our friends at Bet Online. You can hear him, Dusty and Danny, in the mornings, 6 to 9 a.m. That is 3 to 9 a.m. our time here. So, or 3 to 6 a.m. That's really early.
You might have to listen on the app. You might have to listen on the SiriusXM app.
You can also get him on the Cover 3 podcast as well,
That's right.
If the Ducks are able to win in the Rose Bowl, you guys are doing a live show from Fort Worth the day before the Cotton Bowl. So there's an opportunity for Duck fans to go out and watch the Cover 3 podcast. Danny, thanks for the time, man. Always appreciate it.
You guys are fantastic. Great catching up. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Danny.
There he is. Danny Cannell.